This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharad Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday the 19th of August, and we're coming in from yet another weekend. What did you guys do? What did you get up to?
Didn't do much, Lynn. I mean, it was a quiet weekend for me. I think I caught one of those minor bugs. It's just going to keep me mundane and slow throughout the whole week. It started coming in last week. So, mask on, really. I think it's the haze.
Yeah, it does seem likely that it's the haze because quite a lot of people are actually falling sick. I think a number of my relatives have come down with colds or just general unwell.
What I find interesting about us when we're sick is that we have this WhatsApp group in the office, right? And people rank what are the most important things you need to do when you're sick, right? And I was so shocked by how high Netflix ranked. Yep. Even higher than fluids and vitamins. I'm like, what is going on, guys? Sleep number one.
Yeah.
Then there was like Netflix, and then there was vitamins and fluids. I was like, where is this order going? Shouldn't it be like fluids and vitamins, then Netflix?
Netflix help you fall asleep, at least for me.
Absolutely.
Okay, y'all are a real funny bunch.
I bet you didn't get to do your run as a result of the haze.
I did. I only did one run as opposed to the two runs because even I was a little bit scared of the haze.
Yeah, I think.
And I felt a bit asthmatic after that, so I thought, okay, don't die on the streets of KL.
Yeah. I think KL's levels are currently at moderate, if I'm not mistaken, because they're in the 60s in terms of API. So we're not at unhealthy levels yet.
Yeah.
But, just exercise some caution, Xiaoning. Maybe don't run so much.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask?
It's a bit much to ask.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big fan of running indoors on the treadmill. I always feel
get yourself one of those VR cameras.
No, it's the most boring thing in the world, guys.
It on and then, you're running in Geneva or something.
You wish. You feel like you're a hamster, but you don't seem to be going anywhere. And that mileage that tells you how far you've gone, it never moves.
Difference between you and a hamster as well. Let me just say that.
I'm going to keep very quiet. Somebody's going to be dead very soon.
That no more Tim Tams for you, Sharad.
Yeah.
Well, aside from that, though, we've got lots of fascinating discussions lined up for you this morning, particularly lots of interesting topics this 6 o'clock hour where we bring you the lighter side of serious business. So what are we going to be talking about?
Yeah, so I'm wondering, how do you treat foreigners when you see one on the streets? I mean, are you nice to them? Do you throw a smile? Do you say hello?
I thought you were about to say, do you throw something at them?
No. Even if you do, right, and you think that you're being nasty to them, apparently they don't feel that way. So apparently we're much nicer than we give ourselves credit for.
Wow, that's a positive.
So we're going to talk about how nice Malaysians are to our our tourists.
And just to be clear, we don't advocate being nasty or
throwing
things at tourists.
Okay, meanwhile, because we Malaysians, on the other hand, apparently we don't know how to be nice, despite what this friendly thing is all about. We tend to be offensive sometimes with regards to race and religion and royalty. So the MCMC has actually opened a channel for people to complain.
All right, now if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be asking the question of how do you keep yourself safe online? So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Here She Comes by the Beach Boys, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharad and Xiaoning. Now, there is more money being pumped into cybersecurity efforts than ever, and yet we are still seeing increasingly massive and devastating cybersecurity attacks happening around the world. And there's this interesting article in Vice that takes a look at this, specifically at a hacking conference that was held over the weekend, and it was called DEF CON 27. Mm. And it's quite an interesting article because they took a look at this and they asked people, attendees of the conference, that ran the gamut from security analysts to marketing experts in cutting edge technology companies, and they asked, one of the questions was, why are people still getting hacked? And it very much seems like it is human error, because at the end of the day, you can have all the fancy password protection measures you want or data security protection measures, but you still have people, the average Joe, inputting passwords like 1234 or their cat's birthday.
Yeah.
To use.
Isn't the cat's birthday quite difficult? mean, your birthday, yes, but the cat's birthday. How many people know the, like, the, you know, the cat's birthday?
It was a rhetorical.
No, seriously, I thought about it.
You know, you are right, Xiaoning.
Right, put your cat's birthday. Nobody knows that your dog's birthday or whatever. Don't put your mother's, father's. You know, those are obvious, right?
That's like no IC, right?
Yeah.
So okay lah.
Yeah, cat's good one. Lin. All you people with cats, use your cat's birthday as your new password. Okay.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. On BFM 89.9.
Well, I think it's you're right. I mean, this is despite all the technology, but I think this is when people get it wrong, in the sense that they think that technology is so advanced that it's supposed to be much more advanced than the physical world. And you know, the problem is even physical world is still not fully protected. I mean, banks still get robbed, homes still get robbed, right? And there's no difference, you know, if you were to compare it with the cyber world. So whatever is still unresolved in the real world, you have to realize that in the cyber world, the same can happen. So it's just a matter of knowing those risks. And I think that's where the fault lies. I mean, there's just not enough awareness on that.
That's true. I never thought about it that way, but you're right. I mean,
oh, I feel so smart right now.
No, it's true because, I mean, if people steal in the real world, they also will steal online, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We just shouldn't assume that somehow because it's on the World Wide Web and we use the computer, everything is going to be hunky-dory. It's not. So people steal outside, they steal there are people who steal online. But you know this password thing, right? I mean, they tell us this article that one of the simplest things you can do is to have more sophisticated passwords, right? Don't use ABC123. Of course, now the new sophisticated one is your cat's birthday. But you know, the other thing you're supposed to use is password managers. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but after a while, aren't you worried your password manager might get hacked too?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
We have learned
right?
that there is nowhere safe, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah, there's a. I guess the most unhackable thing here would be your brain, right? And your memory.
Well, don't speak too soon.
Well, we're not cyborgs yet, so we don't have implants that we could potentially be hacked. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you know, how many iterations of a password can you remember also?
That's, so it's
It's the worst of those that keep asking you to change every few months, right?
I know. I'm like, it's the most painful thing. I dread those days when I see those pop-ups.
How many times do you need to change your password, like in a year?
You kind of breathe a kind of a really annoyed sigh because you're like, okay, here I have to really make an effort to memorize an entirely new password now. But then at the end of the day, it is for your own safety and security, right? It's like, this is the inconvenience that you unfortunately just have to put up with if you want to be certain that your data is secure, particularly I think when it comes to your money, because online banking is one of the most frequent prompters for password changes, at least for me. And I do it because, you know, at the end of the day, this is my money and I want it to be secure. So I will change it whenever they ask me to change it.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but banks is not the only ones now. I mean, now we have all the e-wallets. They are also part of your phone. They have credit, so it's worth something. I mean, there's money there. And normally, besides your phone, if you don't lock your phone, then Grab just becomes accessible, right? But I think one of the things that it highlights here is that how disconnected these technologies are with the layman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's an issue. I mean, for an example, how I would sort of relate data. I mean, how would relate cybersecurity to people around on the streets? For an example, data is like your money now. As in, how do you protect your data? I mean, as much as all these cloud companies, they have all these firewalls and so forth, it's the same as a vault. But again, people rob banks, people can rob your data. So how do you protect them, right?
Yeah, I think the other interesting theme that came out of this version of DEF CON was the talk about elections, because obviously the US is heading into their 2020 presidential elections. And that was a big theme of the conference, just showing how all of these very old machines can actually be hacked very easily, some of them by college level computer science students. And part of the reason for this is because even the newer machines, they're made with parts that are easily available, you know, in retail stores. So it's easy to go out and get the same and figure out how to hack, let's say, the same part that you get out of that you get out of the equivalent of the 7-Eleven here in Malaysia, and use that to, you know, put up a funny video on an election, on an election polling machine, and obviously also to do much more malicious things than that. So basically, it's, you know, cybersecurity as a whole is evolving so quickly. Technology is evolving so quickly that we all really desperately do need to keep up if we want to keep ourselves and our entire nations, at the risk of sounding alarmist, safe.
Yeah.
But do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages coming up for you, and then we'll be talking about how we are apparently the friendliest city in the world. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Shine by Collective Soul, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Shaoning. Now, apparently, KL also shines in the sense that we are the second friendliest city in the world, at least according to a survey done by Big 7 Travel. And they compiled a list of 50 cities and asked about 1.5 million people to do a survey. And this 1.5 million was through social media, if I'm not mistaken. And first on this list for the friendliest city was actually Vancouver, Canada, because apparently it has extraordinarily friendly residents, an amazing multicultural community who make visitors feel welcome and safe at all times. But KL comes in at second because apparently, even though we talk a lot about the fact that Malaysians are maybe not a friendly people, or at least that's what we experience, we seem to be quite friendly to tourists. It is apparently very easy to make friends here in KL.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is 1.5 million social media users that voted. We have one of the highest social media
Did we vote for ourselves?
I don't know. I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Malaysians like, hey, let's vote for ourselves, man. We can get to number one.
There you go. But, you know, one thing I do want to highlight here in this is where our neighbors are.
Oh, this is to make yourself feel better, is it? Sharitz, go on.
All right, so Singapore is 24th in the list.
No, 24th. Okay.
So, you know, not every day we get to, you know, get to be ahead of our neighbor, you know, not too far across the causeway. But Thailand, Chiang Mai, I'm surprised that they're number 11th. I always thought that when I go to Bangkok, they are a bunch of friendly people. So I'm just, whether it's the language that we speak, perhaps we speak English, and perhaps it's the shy nature of Malaysians that is sort of, you know, some people like shy people, I guess.
Okay. I'm not saying that we're not a friendly bunch in Malaysia. I just question how accurate this survey is, okay? Because there are some countries in there which I've been to, but this is my own personal experience, which I cannot figure what they are doing in the list at all.
Yeah, I want to know their methodology, actually.
Exactly. Right? Like, one country which I find the people, I mean, they are not the warmest or the fuzziest. Definitely, they're not even close to hamster-like. Is Moscow at 36.
Mm.
Now, Russia is Russia. It has got a communist past. People are very matter of fact. But they're not they're not nasty. They're just not super friendly. I don't know how they got on this list, because there's so many other places I've been to which probably deserve to be on the list more than Moscow. For example, even Bangkok. Bangkok's not on this list, right? Chiang Mai is. Bangkok anytime is better in terms of friendliness than to Moscow.
Yeah, I did
see. So that's a simple example for me.
Mm-hmm. It was Tokyo for me here, because Tokyo is 28th on this list behind Singapore. And that surprised me, because when you go to Tokyo, generally, yeah, the people are quite reserved. But the thing about Japan, right, is that they've got this very strong sense of community. So if you get lost, for example, you need to find directions, and if you stop in a local and ask, even with a language barrier, I've never had trouble communicating and actually getting to where I need to go in Japan, because I've actually had locals take the times out of their days to call the restaurant that I was trying to get to ensure that they're open, to find out the specific directions, and actually take me there, you know, with all of their shopping and their toddler children in tow. So I never found Tokyo to be particularly unfriendly, and perhaps even in comparison to places like Singapore, yeah.
So I think this is when I find that we may not be giving ourselves enough credit. In a sense, we are judging our own country not as tourists, as a citizen of the country,
locals,
right?
Yeah.
As locals.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like any place else, even like, you always treat your family members worse than you treat people.
Speak for yourself, Sharitz. Speak for yourself.
So I think this is, I know you're questioning the methodology, but I think this is when we could really see some truth, because in some ways we're seeing in the eyes of a tourist. I mean, how they feel, how they perceive, how they look at, how they see us treat outsiders. Like when we go outside, we get treated nice, same way. It's just the level of niceness.
Well, do let us know what you think about this too. Are we actually a friendly city, or KL at least? Do WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now though, we're heading into the 6:30 news, and to take you there, here is the Jackson 5 with I'll Be There. BFM 89.9. That was Sea of Love by The National, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Sharid Abdullah and Wong Shaoning. Now, complaints on any posts that could disrupt our national peace and unity here in Malaysia could now be channeled straight to MCMC through apparently a WhatsApp number or a social media email hotline. And this is because there has been a lot of discussion recently on what constitutes, citing racial and religious tension. And I guess on the one hand, I'm a little optimistic to see that there is some streamlining in terms of the complaints process. But on the other hand, how do we actually feel about making it easier for people to make reports, to report seemingly on like their WhatsApp conversations and bringing this kind of thing to the attention of the authorities?
Yeah, so I mean, this is... I guess this is the new Malaysia, and despite us coming into this new sort of environment, we are still plagued with the same issue, aren't we? I mean, we still have people who are insensitive towards each other and so forth. And for some reason, I don't know, it's just looking at what the headline has been, what headlines we're seeing, we could see that it's not looking that bright. It's looking quite gloomy in terms of race relations, at least in Malaysia. I mean, there's no denying about that. But I think it's just worth highlighting what Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir said quite recently in the opening of Facebook office, how Malaysia advocates for a free and open internet, but it has to be within the ambit of the country's law and cannot be unfettered. So that word unfettered... I mean, I'm trying to look deep into it, and I think the way I understand it is that what is still illegal offline is illegal online, and I think the law is sort of there to protect those who need it, I guess. And yeah, it's more of the law is there, and again, it's opening avenues. And if you report it, then it becomes, if you're bothered, then you're protected. If you're not bothered, then the law, even though it exists, it doesn't mean anything.
I mean, there's this very thin line, right, between freedom of speech and the right of what is determined or what is defined as hate speech, right? Because hate speech is definitely illegal. But what is hate speech? Because if you look at Article 10 of our constitution, right, it gives us the right to have this free speech. It's available to all Malaysians. Now, the question is, who is the arbiter or who decides what is free speech or what is hate speech? And then I'm reading this other interesting article in The Star, actually written by Eric Paulson, which you interviewed on Friday, right, Lynn?
Yes, I did.
I mean, this was when...
On The Breakfast Grill.
Yeah, and I think he wrote this when he wasn't in that organisation.
The ASEAN Intergovernmental Commission on Human Rights, or AICHR. So he's Malaysia's representative at the moment. But he's also been a very long time a human rights lawyer and advocate.
And his point is that, do you think the government should be the only person or the unquestioned arbiter of what is accepted and what is not accepted of right of free speech?
I tend to veer towards the side of the government shouldn't be weighing in on this at all, because I'm a proponent of free speech as it should be, free. Because I think that you should be, you know, I very much dislike the arguments that, oh no, we can't say this, oh no, we can't say that, because it'll make people upset, you know, it'll incite unrest. I'm like, why are we taking so offense so easily to these things to begin with? You know, if someone makes a comment and it is an ignorant comment, or it is an upsetting comment, why can't we have that conversation with them, as opposed to pointing fingers and saying, you know, oh, that
That person is racist.
That person is racist, or that's a, and that's against the law. You can be punished for it. Why are we still falling back on essentially these extremely draconian laws? Because the problem I have with the with laws that govern speech of any kind is that it is very easy to take it too far. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that these can be immediately and viscerally a bad thing, but they do leave. There's a lot of room for interpretation in our laws with regards to speech and with regards to postings, and I don't like that because I feel like it's too easy to persecute people who basically dissent with what maybe the government of the day is saying.
Okay, so I mean, let's look at what's happening right now. So MCMC says that it's opening channels for people to report. So are we saying now, is it MCMC who is the one policing? Or are we talking about the public who are the ones policing? I mean, so now it's the public who's making report.
I mean, it was always realistically partly the public also, because it's not like the public couldn't make police reports, for example, right?
I mean, back then, if you look, I mean, people get prosecuted, for an example, for saying things to politicians. I mean, if you look at what has happened recently, for an example, with Linus, right? How there's a bus and there's photos of politicians on it saying that, you know, they've U-turned and so forth. I mean, let's try and put it into context. If it was back in the old, I mean, in the previous Pakatan Harapan government, what that would have been Barisan National government, what that would have translated to, right? I mean, that could have translated to immediately government taking action to those who are,
But I think what you can do is, if you're immediately offended, right, just mute that person, block that person, unfollow and ignore this post. That's one thing you can do.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because you do have a responsibility and the ability to
do so on
police
any
your
of the,
own
yeah.
space, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages coming up for you, and after that, we'll be taking a look at what's been said in the papers. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was "Don't Start" by Fleetwood Mac, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Shanning. So this morning we are taking a look at what we are seeing in the newspapers, because it's always interesting to take a look at the headlines and see how different papers have treated different stories. And the Star, at least, has gone with the headline "Move to Muzzle Zakir." So specifically about Zakir Naik and the Prime Minister's comments about him riling up a racial tension over here in Malaysia.
Yeah, so I think the New Straits Times is covering the same news, but however, in a different sort of angle. Now, Straits Time is highlighting a quote from the hadith, which is speak good or be silent. If you look at the photo, it's just two boys quietly minding their own business and doing their prayers silently. But if you just look inside, because it's just one full headline of a photo, right? And if you look inside, then it comes in, you know, the way they're covering the story is more sort of like a diplomatic way. We have three different religious figures saying that, hey, look, it's basically you have to be considerate of the people, you know, that you live with, especially. So they have representative a mufti, they have one from the Christian community, as well as a Taoist president as well.
Well, I've got the Malaysian Reserves, which is a business paper, and there's nothing on Zakir Naik till you get to page 10. And even then, it's embedded in an MCMC story where they urge to promote awareness on self-regulation, hate speech online. So you only have Zakir Naik's comment there at the end of the article on page 10. So, okay, you know, it's not really business-worthy news as far as the Reserve is concerned.
Yeah.
Well, he's on page 2 of The Star as well. So pages 1 and 2 are with to do with Zakir Naik. I think The Star has taken more of a rule of law approach, actually, because they do have a quote from the Prime Minister saying the rule of law will be imposed on Zakir Naik since he's alleged to have preached on racial politics and riled up tensions. And they've also got comments from ex-IGP Tan Sri Rahim Noor calling for the government to rescind Zakir Naik's PR status. But also taking a look at some of the other stories in the papers this morning, there has been news that the search for clues in the area where Nora Anquarin was found. That's ended, and this is also following the Malaysian authorities ruling out foul play in her unfortunate death, because the autopsy, a 9-hour autopsy, found that she actually died of upper gastrointestinal bleeding, which they said was consistent with starvation.
Starvation. Okay, well, we don't see that in the news this time. Mm. For them, what they've decided to prioritize after Zakir Naik is basically stories on Linus. So there's a rally going on, and basically police are called in as a result. Whether or not they're questioning the protest that happened in Kuantan, whether it is legal or not, because did they apply for a permit? That's the question.
Well, the Malaysian Reserve does have a story on Linus on page 2nd, but it's more a business angle kind of story because it's the Reserve, right? So it questions whether the government will stand by experts' views, and our PM, Tun Mahathir, weighs in and says that they will abide by the expert views. He also highlights that this is not Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No.
If there was anything dangerous, you know, they would stop the business completely.
Speaking of Tun M, on the pages of News 3's Time, he is driving the new saga for a spin.
This is, you know, I still remember when Proton Saga was first launched.
And
he drove
it as well.
And he drove it as well.
Yeah.
So, deja vu.
That's not the only thing he drove, though. He drove the bicycle. Maybe not drive, lah, but
cycle. A bicycle.
11 kilometers for a 93-year-old man. I mean, that's something to aspire to.
Yeah, I think the Star also has that. They picked it up from Cosmo. And it comes with a picture of Tun Mahathir leading a pack of cyclists, complete with a bicycle helmet and a little red vehicle of his own there. But I can't see that he's wearing like elbow pads or anything. So I do know I'm a little bit concerned about his safety, considering the fact that he is 94 years old.
I had a very close look at his bicycle, and I suspect that bicycle is electric bicycle.
You think so?
Yeah. There's like this box at the back of it. And
that's
think
why
it's
you could
battery.
Do the 11 km. Is that what you're
come
saying, Sharif?
No. But I'm just saying that, hey, look, some people need a bit of assistance. It doesn't, you know, there's no harm in riding. You still get a bit of a sweat, especially in the hot weather that we have over here.
Okay.
Well, but that's all we have for news out of the papers this morning. And we are coming up, though, on the 7 o'clock news. And after that, we'll be heading into the business end of the morning run. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And here is Phoenix to take you into the news with Everything is Everything, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.